Oh, Milo going very German with your hello.
That was probably me mistyping.
No, the E and the A is nowhere near each other.
Yeah, well, my fingers were on the keyboard in a rough area. Not every typo has to be next to each other. That's one key
thing. Welcome to the world of Pogomania UK.
Dyslexia and
it's like on his thumbnail, that
type.
Finger is like mega long. It's out to that back here on his thumbnail.
Are you body shaming my long ET fingers?
I am.
I thought you were going to borrow Milo's finger for your thumbnail. 1 hour.
That's a 1 hour, yeah. My fingers just pales in comparison.
Yeah, yeah, it's going. Anyway, it was nice. It's a shame we didn't bump into you in London. Tonight on 129, it's another week with a trio of incensed hosts. But this week, there are four of us. Joining Ian Waterfall, Pogomania UK, and the creator formerly known as Masterful 27, we are privileged to be joined by the truly amazing Yaya from Couple of Gaming. Welcome to Incense Podcast. How are we all doing?
Hello.
There he is.
It is an enormous pleasure to have you after a long, long time. We were just discussing how long it's been since we initially had a chat about jumping on the show together. Mm. Welcome.
Yes, 14 months in the making. Welcome, finally.
It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited on my second ever podcast. Let's see how I do. Let's see how it goes today.
I just want to reference, Mark said the trainer formerly known as Masterful 27. He's now just known as X.
Yes.
He's taken Elon's idea, has he?
Very much so. Do you like that, Ian? Do you like that? There you go.
Ooh. X.
He literally got it tattooed on himself.
It would be remiss of me to say, get well soon to Izo.
Yes,
you expect
absolutely.
To be here with us tonight. We're sending out our thoughts to you, but yeah, Ian's in the same boat. He's not feeling well, so we'll go easy on you, won't we, Ian?
Please, but you won't. But no, get well soon, Izo.
Thank you.
Rest up for London, yeah.
We need all the energy for London. Think back to Berlin. Oh, we were dead in Berlin last year.
Oh, they worked you guys hard, though, yeah.
We streamed the entire event up until our meet and greet every day from, what was it, 10, right? 10 in the morning?
Yeah, something like that.
10 in the morning, yeah.
I think our meet and greet started at 4 and we kept streaming the entire 6 hours and we were dead. And then day two came, day three were completely gone.
It was warm, wasn't it? It was warm in Berlin. It was a warm place, wasn't it, Berlin?
It was hot. Not warm, hot, scorching hot. For us in Germany, jeez.
And it could go either way with London next week. I'm not going to lie. It could be amazing or it could be typical British weather.
Let's hope it's the former.
Yes. Let's hope this is positive. But yeah, I was going to say, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, and this is 14 months in the making. But I do remember,
nice.
And I was that little person sat down playing with Pokemon cards, getting very excited on the first day when they launched them in Europe, didn't they? They launched them there at GoFest Berlin, the Pokemon Go TCG. And I pulled that Radiant Charizard card, and I remember you were walking by just as it happened, and it made your stream.
Ooh. Is that so?
And I got it graded, actually.
Really?
Since then, I managed to take it home with me, keep it in one piece, literally.
Somehow.
And it scored a 9.5.
What? That's very well done. Grading cards, I don't know, I never got into it. A lot of people do grade cards. There's a stack of cards like this on the side over there. I frame them up like this. I put them into frames.
Nice.
I put them into top loaders. For us over here, there is no way of getting them graded easily and fast, I think, as maybe for you guys over there. I don't know. The grading mentality isn't as widespread over here, I'd say.
Maybe not.
It was the moment of it, though, because it happened at GoFest. It's probably the only one I've done because it had that sort of meaning to it. But yeah, I'll still claim it's the first one ever pulled in Europe. Yeah, well, not that I can ever prove it, but hey, it was on your stream.
We'll see.
That's good.
We'll see. Yeah. We've got the proof.
There's a stream log somewhere with the time code.
Somewhere.
But I think before we dive too far into the chat, we should tell our listeners for the 129th time what I did not click that one. So look at the same
color.
I had everything ready.
Pop your incenses, champions. Let's go.
There we go. And of course, as we always say, if you do get something while listening to this show, particularly this one, shall we say, shiny or hundo-wise, considering Poliwag Community Day will be taking place when this episode drops, send it to us on our socials or through the email incensepodcast@yahoo.com, utilizing our famous hashtag Shinies of the Week.
Can you clarify the spelling?
We're definitely going to get you doing that as well. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. You will not escape that. But the hashtag you're going to need is S-H-I-N-I-E-S-O-F-T-H-E-W-E-E-K. And that makes it super easy for us to pick and choose which ones we can read out on the show next week. We'd love to see them, so please get sending them through.
But Milo, Yaya, Mark, good news.
What is it?
So I've just checked the long-range weather forecast for GoFest weekend in London, and the weather forecast is mediocre at best, 71 Fahrenheit, which is about 20 degrees.
It's exactly average.
Yeah,
partly cloudy. Yeah. We'll take that.
At least it'll be dry.
It's average.
We won't get sunburned, we won't get wet. So... hey, come on. Is that too bad? I wouldn't say it's too bad, right?
It's good. I'll take a medium.
Nice. But to be fair, though, like there's this thought, isn't there, where you want it to be nice and warm, but like that lasts for about 3 hours, doesn't it, on a Go Fest or like an event? You kind of get to the point, you're like, it's too bright.
Actually, yeah, Kerry said the same in the chat. You don't want it too warm, because if it's too warm, it's going to be murder, isn't it, when you're walking around for 8 hours.
Sweaty and sticky.
Sweaty, sticky. Your phone will overheat. Your battery drains faster. You don't want none of that. None.
Yeah. And you know, because we talked when GoCast were on the show about when you guys were at the meet and greet officially in Seattle, you guys were toasted
on that stage. Yeah, you were right in the sun trap. Like,
right into the sun, no shades, no nothing. And I think on the second or third day was that bad that we stepped away from the tables into the back where there was a little bit of shade.
Yes, you had the slither of shade.
Oh, they did. Yes, they did. Yes.
And we couldn't. There was nothing for us to be safe from the scorching sun. We sat there. We got grilled. I got my cap like this, and I had all of this red. When I took it off, I had the stripe here, and then
goodness me,
we called it the red triangle because it's.
And it's funny you say that, because you're going to get grilled again later. So just prepare yourself.
I got this.
And now, children, it's time for Getting to Know You with the Incensed Podcast.
So since the grill is very much warming up, this question is going to be very, very random, probably quite easygoing and silly, and we'll see how well it fits into a poll now that there are four of us rather than six. So my question, in what way do you typically sneeze, and when you sneeze, how many times do you sneeze?
Wow. Ooh. Oh, my sneeze is a shotgun of a sneeze. It's like, bleh, bleh.
So your volume.
Yes. Ooh, big volume. 2 to 3 times.
Two to three times. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Big guns.
Yeah. Mine is loud and 3 times at least.
Okay. Interesting.
Especially over the last weekend.
Yes, you've had proper experience of
yes.
practicing.
In fact, some of my outtakes from my video, I could send you to demonstrate.
I think one of them is in our GoFest video from 2022, actually.
Oh, it was?
When you got your shiny shroomish.
That's right.
I think it was.
Oh, yeah, you're allergic to mushrooms, aren't you, Ian? That was it, wasn't
it? So.
When I sneeze, it's usually only maybe once or twice, but like, I'll normally have a tissue whenever I sneeze like that, but sometimes it will catch me off guard, my nose tickles, and I'm like, oh, God, and I get my arm like that and go, sneeze, and then I'm like, oh, my God, I've just made this worse for myself, so I'm a bit messy. Let's
put
it that
dear.
Way.
There's debris when you sneeze. Oh, my goodness,
mate. Debris when you sneeze, Milo. Fantastic. I bet you sneeze lavender, don't you, Milo? I bet you, yeah, Febreze.
That'd be rather smooth. We could dispense incense podcast stickers. Maybe. No, I'm probably on the same level as Yaya, I would say, with a cataclysmic noise. And I can sneeze anywhere from 3 or 4 to maybe even to double digits.
Wow.
Double digits?
Yeah, it's honestly, people who measure Richter scales can probably tell when I sneeze and panic. It's that bad.
So Milo, they say every time you sneeze, you lose about a day of life. So are you saying in a sneezing fit, you've lost a fortnight, have you? Is that what you're saying?
Probably. I can make it through London Go Fest. New York at this point is a stretch.
And you've got to make it through New York Go Fest, Milo. Francesco needs somebody to travel with.
We've got to get back to global at least. Get the Go Fest season done, and then we can all drop dead. That'd be fantastic.
Just come in collectively and do like one big sneeze as a trio, and then everything blows up.
And the whole world ends.
is this how incensed ends?
Oh, dear.
I told you it was a random question.
It's actually one of the better questions that we've had recently. But speaking of good questions that we need to have had recently, I think it's time to...
Are we warming up a trumpet?
Yes. So, Yaya, unfortunately, it comes down to you. So, there's no ISO. All the questions are going to be directed at you. So, we've said we're going to ask you two questions each. It might be two. It might be more. Essentially, this is all about you. So, let's get to know Yaya from Couple of Gaming a little bit better. So, nice. I'm going to start things off. And probably one of your biggest claim to fames in Couple of Gaming is you were one of the OGs for doing the infographics. Tell us about that little sort of light bulb moment and how that pretty much developed into the fact that you were one of the first people, as well as LeakDuck, to get the infographics for any event up on Twitter so quickly.
This dates very far back into the times where me and Isaac were still in uni. It was during a math lecture where we were insanely bored, and Pokemon Go had one of its first bigger events. If you recall, it was called the Sky Event, with like Groudon, Kyogre, and then there was an unlock for Rayquaza, the very first one, early days. It had like an egg event tied to it, and no one knew what eggs were hatching. And at this point, we were sitting down, and we were like, the info out there is only there in text bits, but we want a visual of this event, and we need to see what actually is happening. So we stand up, we leave the lecture, we go into one of the study rooms. We sat down while me and Isaac were figuring out our logo. We also were figuring out how to structure this infographic. If I scroll down enough on Instagram, it should also still be up there somewhere. If I look back to it now, it looks so bad. And I was like, oh my God, how did I put this
out
there?
First edits usually are, aren't they?
Yeah.
The font isn't looking good. And oh my God, like it's an entire mess. But back then, it was super, super helpful. We listed down what eggs were hatching and how long the event runs. And yeah, from there on, I think it sparked the interest of Pokemon Go Hub. Then they were like, hey, can we have this? Can we post this? And I was like, ooh, what? Pokemon Go Hub wants to post this? Like,
yeah.
We, as the tiny Yaya Isaac Couple of Gaming, having started like, I think it was actually our second ever graphic. I think the one before that might have been a super rough how to defeat Rayquaza in a raid. And it was like a 3DS sprite of Rayquaza slapped on a square with like the dragon type background and then like type emblems as to what Rayquaza is weak against with like max CP of catching, and that's it. That was the graphic back then. I was like, how? After that, I went to a Niantic meetup that was in Erfurt. It's like a 5-hour drive for me. It was the first time ever that exclamation mark unknown had spawned. And I was like, okay, I'll go there for two things. One, maybe see if I can meet up with any Niantics. And two, to get the unknown.
Yes,
so
unknown priority.
So I get into my car at 6 a.m. in the morning, drive 5 hours to that convention. I think it was called the Mag. I arrive there, I get the unknown. I see a Niantic booth. And long story short, I met up with Dominic, the former global community manager.
Yes.
Sadly, yes, sadly.
Love Dominic.
Chatted a little bit, and then one thing led to another, and then we became part of the Niantic creators, if I phrase it like that in a short term. It's been a wild ride.
A wild ride on the infographics, but that's sort of where, I guess, in the Pokemon Go space as well, you became very, very well known quickly as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Do you find with the infographics, now Niantic are trying to do their ones, which inevitably always look awful, do you still have the passion to do them as you did before?
That's a very big topic for us, because for us, it's like a slap to the face. Mm. For years, we've been doing that. Not only us, like I'm not speaking for us, but all of us have been doing that. Inside that group, we've always requested like high quality assets to make our stuff look better. And at the end, we never got these assets. And then suddenly we see like their own stuff pop up without us knowing in advance. Like we're like, what?
Yeah.
It takes away the passion. Like it's not, you don't want to do it, but then you're like, if they are doing it on their own,
what's
like
the
official source. Yeah. At the end, we still have our lovely community and they are still encouraging us to do more, but it really is discouraging to see that out there after you've done so much over the years. It's not a nice move.
No, and they did sort of pop up out of nowhere, as you say. Yeah. One time suddenly it's like, oh, here's the next month or season, boom, it's on the infographic. Yep. And as we were saying before, you are very present and well-known through the Pokemon Go community. And it's like, well, these guys have been doing it for years.
I think that's what you say, that it was a monthly overview. And how stuff usually worked is where we got stuff in advance, obviously, to prepare our content, all of us.
Yeah.
And then we didn't get that piece of information. And to see their graphic drop without us giving the information at first, I was like, oh, that's how it's going now. So, yeah.
I suppose it's kind of like a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's kind of a compliment that you started off this trend, but then it's kind of a bit of a kick in the guts that they've actually just decided to take that straight away from you.
Kind of, yeah. I'd have to agree with you. It's like, yeah, thanks, I guess. But if we've been asking for years to provide us with the assets that you are clearly having that are looking insanely crisp, that you could use in videos, in infographics, would look so much better than the ones that we have to pull from the game files and that are like so tiny, you have to maybe scale them up. Or what we do for the raid bosses, we like position them in AR Plus and then cut them out in Photoshop, and then could have been so much easier.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that went into yours.
It is what it is at the end. You know how the game, how the decisions that have been made were the best, weren't the brightest.
Yes.
I'm always positive and I want to see the good in things, and I hope that it changes to the better with every new update. We try and we hope. We'll see.
We can only hope.
We can pray and hope, but I did see a lot of people in the community would be like, what's going on here? Because Pokemon Go, this isn't your thing. A couple of games have been doing this for a very long time, but I want to do the typical Coops question where we would say, tell us about you. Like, where did you start? I don't know, with Pokemon as a franchise. You know, you mentioned you and Iso went to uni together before when you started this. Give us a bit of backstory about who you are, where you came into the franchise, and I don't know what you do maybe outside of Coupler Gaming, now streaming and stuff like that.
So a little backstory. I've been playing Pokemon ever since Pokemon Red and Blue. Back then, I did not understand a thing. Little boy Yaya with a Game Boy in his hand. I think the Game Boy should still be, you can see it on the YouTube stream,
yes,
over there. Just pressing buttons, walking around, not having any plan as what's happening. But I've been a fan ever since and never dropped the game or like the franchise. Maybe briefly when it was Black 2, White 2, that's where we were transitioning in that high school, uni phase, whatever. Both of us, we've been enjoying Pokemon ever since we were little kids. And outside of COG, we studied computer science, both of us. We went to school together, went to uni together. That's where we got to know each other. That's where we became a couple of gaming.
Yeah.
And we even had a Pikachu AR snapshot taken on our wedding day. So the franchise Pokemon has been part of us and is part of us ever since. So it's just, you grow up with the franchise and you don't drop it that easily, I feel.
Yeah, it's embedded.
It is.
It certainly is if you was playing it from sort of Red and Blue. Yeah, so what, 30 years or so?
I'll turn 31 this year, so I'm old. Yeah.
We're all heading in that direction.
No, you're not.
Not yet, you're not.
No, you're not. I thought you were 18, mate.
Nah, 18 is a few years back. After COVID happened, we were like, what now? Like, I don't know, Go isn't working, and like you couldn't go out playing Go. And we started like trying out streaming. We could play at home, we could play Go at home, and we're now entering the third-ish year doing Twitch. It's going nice. Like we like it, we love it a lot. It's a very different approach from only doing infographics where no one knew who you are behind the screen.
Yeah, behind the logo.
That's it. Like, people were like, oh yeah, I know the logo, but I don't know you. Who are you? It miraculously worked out. We were never expecting it to turn out this big as it turned. And we are super, super grateful for how things have turned out, how the community took us in, and were super lovely to us. Everyone that we met, let it be you guys, let it be the YouTubers, let it be people that we met on Discord that then became mods, that then became good friends of ours. It's like crazy how this game connects you. Not only the game, but also the entire franchise. Like everything Pokemon, everyone's so loving and welcoming. It's like, oh, you do this, oh, you do that. And then you come together because, you know, this yellow cute fluff, you're like, oh yes, this Pikachu, we're friends now.
Seriously, it's that simple, isn't it? Yeah. You mentioned earlier that in Berlin Go Fest and Seattle, I mean, big events from last year, you were literally streaming the whole event. I think it's fair to say, and it's been announced, so we're not spoiling anything, you are a featured notable trainer this year for Pokemon Go Fest, both London and I believe New York as well.
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit about, I mean, you mentioned about meeting Dominic, working into the partners program. Now, without going into details there, but talk to us about your evolution and how you've got to the point where you're like 2 years in a row, notable trainers at the flagship events for Pokemon Go.
Honestly, I have to say we are super, super lucky and super fortunate to have the support of the community behind us. Of course, on one side, you'd have the support from the community managers that you had contact with that were like, hey, you have been doing so much for the community. We want to give you back and give your community a chance to meet you at one of these events. And I got approached and asked if I would like to be part of this. And I was like, sure thing. I'd be delighted to be part of this. Both of us were like, it was, if we look back at the pictures from last year where our name was on the Big Ten, we're like, how could this ever come to this point where we started in a little small room at university and we were like bored because the lecture didn't interest us. We wanted to play Pigo, we wanted to go outside, play the entire time. And now we're here like hosting an event. People are standing in line. This is like still unbelievable to both of us. We're like, we're two regular trainers that just love the game, that wanted to give something back. And then people are now coming to approach us to be like, oh, let's take a picture. Let's, I don't know, have a chat. And we're like, please, like, don't stand in the rain. Don't stand in the sun. Get to the side. Come talk to us when we are in the park. Don't go out of your, I don't know.
What are your meetup hours then for the events this year?
This time we got the morning hours on all 3 days. Last time it was like a mix up between morning and afternoon, but for some reason this year we got all the morning hours. Maybe it's better like that. We won't get burned in the sun.
If it is,
if there's any sun,
yeah.
We'll see how that goes. Maybe we can also stream the meetup event.
That's what Niantic give notable trainers, isn't it? It's a sliver of shade, isn't it? That's part of the deal, isn't it?
to be fair, though, the tent in Berlin was way better than the stage in Seattle. We had like a little tent with like a roof above us and shade and water and everything. And then in Seattle, we had like this big open stage, which looked nice, but sun from the side in front of you, in the back, we're like, whoa.
It was like a sort of metal box with no sides, really, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was a permanent fixture, wasn't it? So
I don't know how things will look like in London or how things will look like in New York. We pray for the best. We hope for the best. We'll see.
We're all hoping.
So we'll find out next week.
Yeah, you'll get a sliver of sunshine in London, but assuming you're going to be streaming the whole event again, as we've just been speaking about there. It's a question I love asking these questions to people that stream, because like you see loads of things online of people like capturing their most funniest moments, also quite concerning moments when people stream. They want to be part of the presentation that's going on. People react in different ways. What would you say has been both the funniest moment you've had when you've been streaming, and also the moment where you've gone, I need to get the hell out of here kind of moment when you've been streaming? Have you got any examples that spring to mind?
Are we talking about IRL streams only?
IRL's probably better, yeah. Actually.
Oh, that was, now that you say it, the one I have to get out of here moment. In Berlin, there was this there was a security guy that saw me streaming because I had the mic and everything. And he was like, who are you? Come on, let's take a picture. You must be famous. Follow me on Instagram. I was like, who are you? Like, what? And he was persistent. Every day he saw me, like we had to go through the gate the creators were. He was there every morning. He was like, you didn't follow me yet. Why didn't you follow me? I was like, oh my God.
Is there a different entrance so I can get in? Avoid it.
Oh, that guy was something. You brought back an AA. A hidden away memory of mine. Oh my God, I forgot about him.
You repressed it.
But in terms of the funniest, I am the type of guy that small brains a lot. You couldn't count them on your fingers. And once you are often a small brain, one thing that might have been funny is where we had a sunscreen check, channel point redemption. Our chat redeemed that. So we went to the site, we had like this spray can of sunscreen. And I do this and get it all in my mouth. All live on stream. It should be somewhere on Twitch. There's a bunch of these small brain moments. So if you don't want to miss them, be there.
Going backwards from that, I know you mentioned it very, very briefly, but what prompted you guys to say, let's give streaming a go to start with? And do you have any plans for the future of maybe going further with content? Or are you happy sticking with kind of streaming and, I don't know, keeping it kind of IRL but easygoing, I'd say, rather than just being full-on content creation, as it were?
Maybe the biggest point for us to go into streaming was that doing Instagram never paid us anything. All the years that where we did Instagram prior to doing Twitch, we didn't earn nothing out of doing infographics. And we're like, we have to, like, if we want to do this, if we want to continue this on the scale that we are doing it, money has to flow in somewhere and we have to try something.
Yeah.
Doing YouTube, not knowing how to edit and stuff, wasn't the go-to idea. And we were like doing streams, testing streaming out, and then being Pokemon Go where you could walk out and have the game with you at all times. We're like, let's try it out, especially as I said earlier, when COVID hit, we had all these COVID bonuses where you could play at home. Luckily, we have 3 Pokestops at home as well. Like, we could fire up the Lure Modius and Incense, and then we streamed all the community days from at home, the 6-hour community days on Twitch Live, and it was a huge, huge, huge amount of fun. We thought of challenges. I remember vividly the Swablu community day, where Swablu being golden, we made it so everyone, whenever you got a shiny Swablu at home, we had like chicken nuggets in front of us and we could eat a chicken nugget. We always do Team Yaya versus Team Iso. Whoever had the least amount of shinies would have to do a punishment. I know we had like very sour Skittles or whatever stupid idea I could come up with.
Something fun, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I would say, the most amount of fun we had streaming Pokemon Go at home back in those days. I mean, I think you all agree the COVID bonuses were insanely cool to play
with.
They
were good times.
They were massive. Yeah.
And sorry, I got a little bit sidetracked. Thinking of going further with content creation, I wouldn't say I wouldn't try new things. I always like to try new things. I thought briefly of trying to go through highlight clips on Twitch, turn them maybe into shorts. Like, it's a skill set that you have to learn then and see how that goes, and then learn the entire YouTube thing. It's different from setting up your Twitch stream and then pressing the live button, and then once you're done with the stream, like, you don't have to worry about editing and see how things go. I think that's a new thing that you have to learn in order for it to be semi-successful. But I wouldn't be opposed against trying new things.
I do have to say, that's the nicest thing about streaming is once you push the stop button, you're free.
Yeah. But then again, also, you have to prepare to go in at 2, 3, 4. We did a 12-hour stream once, and that was insane. You have to prep for that. You have to be mentally ready for that. And then talking for 12 hours straight is also kind of a challenge, I feel like. It wouldn't be the easiest for everyone to handle.
So, are you streaming a bit of Pokemon Unite? I think you've done Unite. Is that something that you're sort of focusing on around Pokemon Go and that?
I loved Unite. Season 1, Season 2, I went in on Unite, because prior to Pokemon Go and streaming and everything, I had been playing League of Legends for 7+ years.
Wow.
I was
wow.
crazy excited when I heard Tencent is taking over Pokemon Unite. Season 1, Master Rank. Season 2, Master Rank. The game got repetitive. Like, I'm the type of guy, when I go competitive, I become kind of mad at myself or at my team that isn't performing too well. And then I push myself to Masters in solo queue. And that was kind of tricky in the first 2 seasons, where you had everyone jump into Unite without the background knowledge that I brought in with League from the 70s. I knew like how to ping, how to go there, how to do this, and then I was like, oh, why don't you do that? then
it's just there with all the extra knowledge.
It was a lot of fun. Like, play Unite, I play the TCG online, I collect the TCG when it comes to when we talk about Pokemon only. Obviously the main games, I don't think I skip any of the main games. Is there anything that we have forgotten about Pokemon? I think that's all of it, right?
That's all of it, mate, yeah.
Roughly, yeah.
I think between the 3 of us, we probably cover all the bases you mentioned, but that's between the 3 of us. I'm a bit with TCG.
You do
Ian's a bit with the main series, and Milo's a bit with the Pogo.
Fair enough.
A bit.
I think I played Unite once.
I played Unite.
I played Unite as well, to be fair.
I did like it. It was a fun game.
Yesterday I jumped back into it because Mewtwo now made its way into Unite.
Oh, I saw that, yes.
And I was like, yeah, let's just check it out. And it's still a fun game. Like, yes, maybe because I didn't play ranked and I didn't go in competitively, I had a lot of fun. And if I go in competitively, I will rage again. But
yeah.
It's still fun.
Yeah, he's like shouting at his team members, do better, be better.
Yes. And then I was like, oh, that lag. Oh, no. How did...
You find the excuses all the time.
It's always the lag.
Well, certainly in Pokemon Go, PvP, definitely.
Oh, don't get me started with PvP. I for a fair while, what was it, the season with Leon, not and Leon.
Oh, Leon.
I wanted the cap and the Leon pose. And I tried my absolute best. It's Ace Trainer, then it is something, and then comes Legend, right?
Is the Ace Veteran Legend, is that it?
Yeah, I played somewhere between on my way to Veteran, but then it became so laggy, and then for some reason you get counted every match, and I played that all on stream, and I got tilted, like crazy tilted. And I was like, I am not playing this anymore on stream, because I try to be as family friendly as I can so everyone can enjoy the content, but that pushed me to my limits to here. I could not, because I want to be competitive. I wanted this stupid pose, and it didn't want to happen, and I never got it.
Oh no, you didn't reach? Oh no, my goodness.
No. It was too laggy. Weak connection thing kept happening. You get counted every time. It never happened pre-ace or below ace. Once I reached ace, everything goes down.
You get hard counted repetitively. Yes. So long.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's only so much the family filter can hold back.
And that clip is no longer available on the catalogue of clips. That has been taken off by Couple of Gaming.
I think I've got one more question before Mark asks his go-to question to end off this round, but You mentioned that you've been creating content for a while since you was at uni, and you say you've been lucky enough to travel to some amazing places. We first met you in Sevilla last year, Berlin for Mark, Seattle, London. We've seen you all over. Where's on your bucket list of places where you'd actually like to play this game that maybe you haven't already played it at?
I would really, really love to play in the South Americas. I keep seeing Swagron's community looking insane. The amount of people that play there, the dedication of the community there, absolutely amazing. That's a place I'd love to play. The Scandinavian region, to see how Pigo is over there.
Copenhagen for yep. Pigo is flipping amazing.
Really?
Well, Scandinavians, we've got Barside in the chat.
We went out there and Pogo was on, Pigo was on, and it was phenomenal. And they've got loads of big parks over in places like, well, we were in Copenhagen, so the nests were mental. But the people were brilliant. Like, we went over there and you could see people playing it. I've had a couple of Scandinavian YouTube channels where actually the community seemed quite dense. You know, there's quite a lot of people there.
It's very interesting to see how the different communities play. Mm. Back in December, we went to Greece. In Athens, we played the last C-Day of the year there. The
wrap-up.
You know, the wrap-up C-Day. And it was a smaller park, but it was insanely packed with Pokestops. The community was insanely lovely. They have like a little cafe inside the park where you reach, I kid you not, 8 Pokestops from inside the cafe in the park. Yeah, it's very, very interesting to see all the different communities, how they play, where they play, what their play style is. It really is different from over here in Germany. It's like you have your local group that you know that plays. Outside of that, there is not really much happening. But then you go to the States and that's an entirely different story. There's like stops and gyms and stuff everywhere. Mm. People do live the game. Over here, it's like you played your C-Day. You saw your locals. You're like, okay, thanks, bye. See you next event.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this was from December, so fairly recent.
The game is still alive, despite what some people would have you think.
It's trying to stay alive, let's say like that. to be honest with you, with all the things that happened, looking at this new feature that is routes that isn't working properly.
Oh my goodness, yeah. We'll definitely get onto that.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to get onto that.
But before we do get onto that, Mark, bring this one home.
I'm going to try and create a scenario. I think I know your answer already, so I'm going to put a little bit of a caveat in it. You're out and about in your lovely community, but you've decided we can do something different. So the pair of you, that's a couple of gaming, you're in Athens in Greece. Sun's out, you're finding a sliver of shade to try and keep yourself protected from the sun. The community is crazy. And you're like going, oh, this is amazing. So the community go, right, we're going to go out. We're going to turn this day into a night. You're having some great food. You're having some great social conversations with the people that you've met. But there is room, Yaya. There is room for one extra, a wingman, and not a human wingman, a Pokemon wingman to join you. To make the rest of this day absolutely legendary. The problem is, it can't be a legendary.
Oh.
But you said it's going to be a legendary moment. Who would it be?
Other than Rayquaza. Well, if it's gonna be Rayquaza, Yaya, tell the listeners why it would be Rayquaza. What would Rayquaza bring to you on that night out, and why would you pick it, other than being your favorite Pokemon?
No, you know what? Let's try and go into the non-legendary route, so I play your game well. Yeah, you know the funny thing is my top three favorite Pokemon would be Yveltal, Rayquaza, and on third you would be oh, tied with No, on third you'd have like shiny Zerkitree on there, but
those are three sick picks.
Yeah,
although technically Zerkitree isn't a legendary; it's ultra beast, isn't it?
Now I would go for Zerkitree. I wouldn't think Zerkitree would be in for a legendary. Zerkitree would light up the night, and that's it.
Works.
You'd never need a power bank.
You have a number of unknown behind you.
Is these spell COG, by the way. So COG being couple of gaming. You know what? I'll go with Snorlax. Yeah. Snorlax. Me being a chubby boy, I'll go with my big chungus friend. No, I'll take Snorlax out. We'd have fun. We'd have some fancy food and then have the best night sleep ever. Talking about Pokemon sleep here.
I was going to say, good link.
We can even go ahead and say shiny Snorlax.
Ooh. It's allowed.
Ooh. It's allowed.
To top it off, shiny sleep hat Snorlax. There you go.
Hey, Dingo.
There might just be one of those in China's of the week this week.
Mike, no spoilers. Like that, yeah. Shiny Snorlax with the nightcap. Brilliant.
I think this is an answer you didn't have yet.
No.
I don't think we've had Snorlax yet. The grill can be settled. Thank you very much for answering all of our information heavy and maybe random questions. Appreciate it.
I love them all.
How do things go from lighting a grill on a barbecue? Of course, you jump straight into a game.
Chasing the tail, chasing the tail, tail to chase, it's chasing the tail.
Now, of course, we've got to explain what on earth chasing the tail is. So, Yaya, it is a word association game with Pokemon names. We're going to go in an order that will be said, and the Pokemon that you say, the beginning letter of that Pokemon has to match the previous Pokemon's last letter. If we were to say Snorlax, we'd have to say the name of a Pokemon that begins with X.
Circuitry.
There we go. And then it is against the clock. In a way, so it will be last, in this case, last man standing. If you give an incorrect answer or hesitate for more than, we'd say, 3 to 5 seconds, you will get A and you will be out. It will go to a head-to-head and somebody will be crowned Lord Game, Sir Game, for next time. The order we will go in will be myself, Yaya, let's go, Mark, and then Ian, and then back to me.
We can't repeat them, Yaya. So,
yes.
No repetitions.
Thank you, Marky. Thank you, Marky. That's another rule, yes.
And no repetitions runs through the entirety of the game.
Once a Pokemon's name has been said, it can't be said again. Otherwise, you will also hear a...
Nice.
Thanks for picking that one up, Mark. And Ian.
I wish I had access to my soundboard. I would play the Street Fighter KO once someone is out.
the best we have is that's all we can do. Yaya, your Pokemon is Rayquaza.
Annihilate.
Ekans?
Swaddle.
Empoleon.
Natu.
Umbreon.
Nidoking.
Geodude.
Eevee.
Empoleon? Oh, you already said that, haven't you?
Oh,
Violet?
No!
No!
It recognised its error straight away.
Were
you thinking along the same lines? Because in my head, I was going the episode when JT just said I had Empoleon ready in my head. It's like, I need to get that one in now.
It goes down that route with the E's.
It's hard, yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Marky will kick off round two.
My starting Pokemon is Burnett.
Espeon.
Nihilego.
I've completely blanked. I was like, Nihiligo, what am I doing? I've traded so many of those damn things recently with the two special trades of the seasons.
Oh, Milo.
You didn't trade it from your brain.
Yes, I couldn't spit out something that ended with whatever letter it finished in. Like, I still can't think.
You traded the memory of it from your brain.
Yes, it's gone, blanked. Couldn't get the hundo. So this is now a do or die head-to-head. We've got Vassafal versus Yaya.
Yeah.
Let's go. So, Yaya, your Pokemon will be Dewpider.
Rapidash.
Helioptile.
Enamorous.
Shinx.
Oh.
Xerneas.
Another ass. Swirlix.
Oh.
Is there even another one?
Yes.
I don't know if we could be any more generous. I'm afraid it's an
There's out. One more.
What? Zatu. An out. No.
Oh, Zatu.
Ian with a double X.
Jeez. I was like, X?
That was tricksy right there.
Oh. I mean, Xerneas.
Ian was throwing X's. It was a nightmare.
X. Jeez. GG. GG, Vassafal. GG.
Thank you.
Ian retains the knighthood of Sir Game.
So
otherwise,
game.
I have to get Yaya back on next week to host the game.
Yes.
I'm here.
Oh,
bring me back.
Sir Game, Lord Game, Vassafal. Retain the title. We can just jump straight into the next chat and throw it over to Ian. Riolu Hatch Day, given it was actually Vassafal weather outside in the UK for that event, it's kind of fitting. Ian, how was your Riolu Hatch Day?
Well, I think, being the first hatch day that we've had in Pokemon Go, it was kind of like a tester in a lot of ways. On the whole, I actually thought it went off pretty darn well. The 2Ks were dropping very, very regularly, not exclusively, but we know that it's not only 2Ks that are going to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And the shiny hatch rates were pretty good. I think I was coming out with about 1 in 7, which, you know, was more impressive than I was expecting. So the biggest problem I did foresee, I think we talked about it last weekend when playing the event, a reduced egg hatch bonus would have been nice.
Yeah.
Because you were somewhat limited with what you could hatch.
Yep.
So in the 3 hours, even though I was feeling like death warmed up, I think I managed to do 3 batches in standard incubators. I could have probably done 5 if I'd used supers. I got 3 shiny Riolu from it. Before the event finished, I did manage to restock on eggs and got a 4th shiny Riolu separately. Yeah, the day after. So, you know, if they did another hatch day, as long as it was what I see as a worthy Pokemon, I think it actually could be quite a nice or bi-monthly event. What was your experience like, Yaya?
I had to start an hour later because I had ordered some furniture and that was due to arrive on that Saturday.
Oh no, the waiting in for a delivery.
Yep. And had to wait. And then once it all was finished and then set up, we started like 1 hour later, but managed to hatch 2 batches. I have to agree with Ian. No hatch bonus was kind of a, how we like to call it on our stream, stupid decision, stupid with an O-O, stupid.
It was just an easy win for Niantic, wasn't it? Just give us a hatch bonus.
Like a hatch, or like what would have been also nice to get a hatch bonus prior to that hatch day, the 3 hours, hatch 3 hours. Another point is it being called a day and then only being 3 hours. Like having it 6 hours, like the old C-Day format would have been, I think either give us a hatch bonus and then make it 3 hours, or don't give us a hatch bonus and make it 6 hours would be, I think, fair on both ends.
I think I'd rather go for the bonus and the shorter event.
Depends. I mean, also, like, for us over here, if it would have been a Sunday, people over here on a Sunday wouldn't have necessarily work or anything to do. So on a Sunday, having it 3 hours, I think, is more manageable, speaking for myself, than having it on a Saturday where you might have stuff to do still, where you don't have the bonus and you maybe small brained like I did and didn't prepare your eggs in advance. So I had to hatch.
So many people didn't. That's the thing. So many people left.
We warned about it last week.
Huge pool of eggs. Yeah.
And then drum roll, I didn't get a shiny in 2 batches.
You didn't?
Dude.
That's a bit rough.
No shiny.
Did Izo get any?
Yes, she got 1 shiny. She was lucky to get one. It is what it is. I mean, wasn't it confirmed that we will get shiny Lucario at GoFest? Well,
yes,
shiny Lucario.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm not too bummed about that. Yes, having a shiny Riolu would have been nice. And then the baby to unlock the third move. It is what it is. I don't think it's gone forever. One day it'll come back. So just like everything in this game.
Comes around again.
Yeah. What about you, Milo?
I had a pretty good day. I will say, I've talked to other people about this, just playing when the weather is atrocious seems to make it so much more exhausting. Yeah, and it was the same when it was Cleaver Raid Day all those months ago, and it was chucking it down with rain. It's like, I'm so done. But I had pretty good success on it. I did get my eggs prepared. Do what we say, don't do what we do.
Yep.
I did burn super incubators on the 2Ks.
I didn't. I was good.
Oh, you stuck to your guns on that one. I think I got through about nearly 70 eggs in the 3 hours or so and came away with 6 shinies.
Were you running? Jesus
you
Christ,
know
man.
The pace I walk, Vassafar.
Well, yeah, okay.
I walk fast, even when it's torrential rain. But I managed to pick up 6 extra eggs that then carried over to the quarter hatch egg distance on Squirtle Conde Classic 2.0. We'll get onto that. And got a back-to-back shiny in that. So out of just over 70 eggs, I got 8 shinies, which was pretty solid. But turning to the local community, we had people who had even better luck than me. Somebody had literally a 1 in sort of 8 or 1 in 7 ratio. They hatched as many eggs as I did and got more shinies. Versus somebody who hatched north of 50, nearly 60 eggs and didn't get a shiny at all.
Same. People in my community, the same 50, 60 eggs, no shiny. 40 eggs, no shiny. I was like, what? Jeez.
It's rough when that happens. All we can say is RNG is a cruel mistress.
RNG sucks. I'd say my shiny rate was about 1 in 7, but which actually is technically better than your shiny rate, Whitfield.
Yeah, technically, yes. Mm-hmm.
But then again, Mark might have trumped both of us.
Possibly. I want to ask, and Mark might be able to lead off with this. So Ian did get shiny Riolu, which was his goal for the day. The goal I set myself was to get the Hundo, which I thankfully did. First Honda Riolu. I was so over the moon with that. But Marky boy, how did your day go? And did you complete, it was a trifecta of goals completed, was it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I played for about an hour of it. Yeah, you know what it's like, don't you? Real life gets in the way of these things. But it was nice, but the weather didn't get better throughout any of the time the event was on. So again, it was raining, hammering it down. I went in with no expectation and I did exactly the same thing. I was trying to make up for lost time, super incubate my way through the hour and a bit that I played for.
Nice.
I did achieve my goals. So I had my eggs clear. I was happy with the rate of 2 kilometre eggs dropped. I did hatch a couple of the very rare ones. I don't normally get the rare ones, but I did get a couple of them which caught me off.
There's things that weren't Riolu.
Yes.
For the 28 eggs that I hatched in just over an hour, I managed to get 4 shinies.
That's amazing.
And I got the Hundo as well. So
my first ever
Hundo Riolu.
And that was the winner on that one, Marky.
First batch. So yeah, 4 shinies and a Hundo.
That's insane.
But I love the concept of the event. What a Pokemon to start it with in Riolu. Yeah, hopefully, if I do it for Caterpie, I can't imagine there'll be that much enthusiasm.
It's going to be Bulbasaur next.
Oh, no, please.
Oh, God, no.
I was thinking a good contender would be Munchlax.
Oh, yeah.
Munchlax would definitely be a good contender for this.
Yeah, the babies would actually be a good call.
Going from an event which was highly anticipated and exciting. Exciting. Do you see what I did there, boys? Exciting. Do you like that? Yeah. We went to an event that really wasn't officially announced on any of the channels, and everybody got a chance to play it again. That's Squirtle Community Day Classic 2.0.
Wait.
Stupid.
Oh, my goodness.
As I was calling it, Squirtle 3.0.
It was, though.
Yeah. Wasn't it the fourth time, even?
I guess, technically, if you include it in the first December rewrap, technically, it is Squirtle 4.0.
Jesus.
A makeup day nobody asked for and nobody wanted.
Nah. I was good on the 2.0.
Literally, the makeup day nobody asked for, nobody wanted, and Niantic didn't even announce it properly until the last minute.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how much no one wanted it.
Morally, Niantic, this must be the right thing to do, but like 89% of the planet that wasn't impacted by it went, no, don't give us it. Don't give us it. Please don't give us it.
Well, we said that, but we all played it to a certain extent.
We did.
Well, we're obligated to play it.
Obligated.
Aren't we, I guess.
Yes.
The only thing that made people want to play it potentially was the research hunting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because costume Shundo and Hundo. It's the best chance you're going to get it. It's relatively rare. As we travelled, and we travelled as a four on the podcast down to Portsmouth when it was originally announced, and we had a great time down there. Don't think even if Portsmouth said come back again, boys, we'd have probably done it, would we?
I would go back to Portsmouth to deal with the university again in a heartbeat, but
not Squirtle.
Not for Squirtle.
No.
Yeah, Squirtle wouldn't be the reason.
Did everyone play it to some degree? Yeah, did you play it? Or were you completely out? You were
I was
done.
Out. Especially, as I mentioned before, on that Saturday we had furniture moving in. So on Sunday we had to deal with all of that. And I was like, yeah, nah, it's Squirtle again. Actually, I would have gone hard for the costumed Shundo if Mega Blasters would keep the sunglasses.
That's such a good point.
Then yes, then you would have had me. But other than that, meh.
I think that'd be such a nice touch if Megas kept the costume. Our favorite Mega Charizard Y with a party hat.
Why?
For GoFest, Mega Aerodactyl with a satchel.
Oh, the Roadman Aerodactyl.
That'd
I'm
be great.
So ready for that.
Fantastic.
Roadman Aerodactyl is the highlight. I'm ready for that.
I want the Shundo of that one. I know that's asking a lot, but hey. Speaking of Shundos, Marky said exactly, and it's kind of the ethos, I think, that the majority of people who played 4.0 for Squirtle were like, if I'm going to go for something, it's the quests and try for that Shundo. Alas, no Shundo Squirtle with the Squirtle Squad aviators, but got another Hundo of it from task number 4. The shiny luck was great. And to be honest, it was an interesting way to play a community day. I've never played a community day where I've not touched the wild spawns apart from catching 3 at the beginning. And it was such a weird thing to literally go look at the spawns on the map and go, do
but
you know
it
what?
It didn't feel too difficult not to catch them.
No, well, at the end of the day, it's Squirtle.
Squirtle.
But it was sort of like, I liked saving my shiny RNG luck for the quest. And the quest came through quite nicely. I think I did 150 quests on the dot and got about 7 shiny aviator shade dudes and an XXL one, which was, I guess, joke. So it was a chill community day, but I cannot blame anybody who didn't play it for the fourth time.
I feel like if it would have been Larvitar for the 10th time, people would have gone even up for that. Like, it's the fact that it's a Squirtle, as we said, the costume can't be, you wouldn't keep the costume when you mega it.
Yeah.
It's not that viable. 3 things, make it like a 4th rerun for that Pokemon. Nah.
But I think, Ian, you did a very similar thing to me in doing research only, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Mentioned earlier, feeling very under the weather. I really don't have much recollection of the Community Day Classic redo, which is probably a good thing in all fairness. But one thing I do remember is that 1 hour felt like 3 hours doing the tasks. It was a long 1 hour. I did 30 tasks in that hour. And you know what? I could have given up after 2 minutes because my first encounter was a shiny, and then nothing after that except a standard 98, which I stacked. I was thankful when my timer went off after 60 minutes. Genuinely, that sounds
no
really
more.
Negative, but that's how I felt. Yeah, seriously, it was just
weary. You weren't in a good way at all, mate.
No, I wasn't. How about you, Marky?
I was the same as you, Ian. I did it for about an hour. Sorry, I sound like a broken record here, but there is life to play. It's not just about playing it. There's other stuff that goes on. You did yours on foot. I did mine in the car. I think I did about 34, 35. And I got one shiny. So I was kind of pleased I was in the car doing it because I'd have been a bit annoyed if I'd done it all on foot for one.
Tromping around on foot,
yeah. And the best I got was a 400cc.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you did all right, Ian. You got on the first one. You could have gone, right, I'm done. That would have been
great. I could
great.
Have, like, one, yeah, done, gone.
But I think I've heard a lot of contrasting reports. I think I did want to speak about, maybe not in our experiences, but the shiny rate seems to be pretty harsh for a lot of players, certainly.
I find there was worse than the one we did in Portsmouth.
It felt like
a lot
it.
Better in Portsmouth.
Yeah, that's the thing. For me, it was actually better on this fourth time round than the one in Portsmouth. But again,
the fourth time round.
I don't know. But it's that thing of RNG can be on your side. It cannot be on your side.
The worst I heard was a friend of ours, Newcombs, Mike. It was over 85 research tasks he did. And not one shiny on any of the researches.
Oh,
that's
harsh.
Brutal RNG. Look,
how many sunglass Squirtle from the first run?
Actually, let's have a look, actually.
Hang on.
Two, actually.
I got one from the first time
around. No, make him four. Four shinies.
Flex it up, flex it up.
From Squirtle Community Day 1.
2018.
I got one Squirtle Squad Squirtle.
I got three.
Yeah, I think I got three as well. You know, everyone got access to this again for the fourth time, but there's something that, as far as I can tell, barely anybody on the planet has access to. Let's jump into...
It's the news.
And because it's already been available for over a week at this point, we're going to sort of top line the article. And from the experience of seeing people online, we should read out this bit first. We're going to start in the middle of the article, which... Roots are springing up all around the world. While all trainers can explore Roots right now, Root creation is still being rolled out. Keep an eye on your email to see when it is ready for you. That's the biggest bugbear, isn't it, boys? I'm sure you guys have had experience. But I'd like to ask if you guys got access to the beta test thing, because I was in the little beta test thing. Is that a zero Roots? You didn't get access. So you, Yaya, cannot... create Roots.
Nope. I can't create. I can't see. I can nothing.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm stuck on that. I mean, obviously, I still need to track sleep for that Zygarde thing, but I don't. I have to follow three Roots. Can I? No.
Yeah, that's really, it's such a weird thing.
A lot of people in that boat. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark or Ian, did you guys get access to the little beta test?
In the second wave, yeah.
Oh, so what,
yeah,
after
they
it released?
Two waves.
Did they do two waves?
No, they did two waves of beta. So you were in the first wave.
Okay.
And then Mark and I got it a week after you did.
Right. Gotcha. I don't know, like, where do we go with this? Like, should we just...
Let's cut to the chase. Niantic definitely felt the pressure. This had to be released before GoFest.
Yeah.
So whether it was ready or not, it was coming. They've proven it. I mean, Niantic have sort of history that they will release features that aren't entirely ready.
Kecleon spring to mind.
Kecleon
ahead of Hoenntor.
They had years, but they had to get it ready for Hoenntor, didn't they? And you know what? That mechanic, they could have put that in place a long time ago if they'd wanted to make it that simple.
Mm-hmm.
The feature, as far as I've been able to explore and even creating routes and things like that, there are little bugbears, but it seems to be pretty fine and okay. The biggest problem is as we just saw on your screen, not enough routes are in the game for anybody to actually use the feature.
And
a bit
I think
bizarre.
There's a couple of ways we can look at this, because it has been in beta and it's been available to certain trainers for a month.
Yeah, just over as well.
Really? If I want to be sounding like somebody off of another podcast in another country...
Do it, Ian.
We don't have
people have had the opportunity to put Roots in. This has been spread across a large proportion of the player base, across a large proportion of the world, and I would say most of the world. If people can't be asked to put Roots in, there's no point moaning about the fact
Do
that
it.
They're not available now.
We're the problem. We are the problem.
But I will counter you, Ken.
Ooh,
okay.
Adam.
Okay,
on,
all right. So,
come on, Adam.
Yes, it's a different podcast now.
Let me have it, mother.
I had access, and I did put several routes in the system. You know, I was quite excited. I was like, oh, okay, so can I get a few routes in? And one of my routes actually is in, and on Riolu Hatch Day, there were a lot of people out, like, even in the bad weather, doing the route. They were using the route while hatching their eggs. And it's like, that's really nice to see it being utilized. But I also have a bunch of routes that, despite being submitted right at the very beginning of July, are stuck in under review and are
I've
not
got to agree
moving.
With you. When I got access, I submitted a route and it was reviewed and approved within 24 hours. I couldn't believe
Same
how
as my
quick
first
it was
one.
Considering that Niantic are reviewing these themselves.
Mm.
I now have four impending that have been there for a week as we record this.
Indeed.
It's going to be a lengthy process to get them all in the game.
There is one thing which I think might be quite important to say, and this is quite good for London GoFest. So jumping out of the article to something that I was shared in my local group chat, Brockwell Park, where Pokemon GoFest London is taking place, has listed about 7 to 8 routes in the park, all approved of various different lengths, time and distance. So there's Brockwell Park and Gardens, Brockwell Park Nature Trail, Brockwell Park North Entrance to Centre, Community Day Loop, Ponds Loop at Brockwell, Central Loop at Brockwell Park, and then General Brockwell Park.
There's one on there that wasn't on your list. It's Brockwell Park to the nearest hospital.
Ah, is there one to the Incense Podcast meetup as well? To the Notable Trainers meetup as well?
We'll be to the side of the Notable
That's
Trainers.
That's good. That'll be good. But they've clearly pushed, and I have no idea if Osaka is the same. The routes for Brockwell Park are in place, and we know it was going to be a part of the GoFest. It was on the images in various places. So they've really pushed those routes in the park, and that makes me think that anything else that we've submitted kind of is just stuck in limbo.
I would say so. In the last week, not a lot seems to have happened in game in terms of approvals.
Yeah.
Have you submitted any, Mark?
No, I haven't really played the game that much, to be fair, outside the events. If people are submitting them, and maybe Niantic is sort of saying we're reviewing them all, but actually all they're going to do is sort of approve one for each person, because it feels like that might be what they're doing.
It feels like
Jokes
it.
Aside, I did see a route near where I work. I don't know how it got in the game, because it literally looked like it started at one Pokestop and then went to like a shopping centre. Or like a Tesco's, which is like
the route could be anything.
Someone's lunchtime walk.
Well, that's exactly what it is. And I look at that and go, if I did that and then got a Zygarde cell, I'd be feeling the pain of all those that have been doing them indefinitely, not getting Zygarde cells. I'm going to park this research, wait till GoFest, enjoy GoFest, and complete that element of it at probably at GoFest, because it feels like it'll be set out quite nicely in the park.
Hopefully.
But my question, Milo, is you created a route, and Ian, you've created a route, and they're both in the game. Do they count then if you follow your own routes on that research?
Yes, so you can follow it multiple times, so you can do the same route three times for the research. Thank God.
And have you got Zygarde cells on your routes?
Yeah. Well, this is interesting. I will read a bit from the article, because Zygarde cells, you know, there's the A to Zygarde research now available for everybody. Thankfully, you get Zygarde as an encounter before you have to walk the routes.
Well, for the 10% form.
Before you're required to, I think, spend the rest of time walking routes before you find 50 Zygarde cells, because it says, keep an eye out while you're exploring a route. You might come across a Zygarde cell. Zygarde cells are components that make up Zygarde, the order Pokemon. You can collect Zygarde cells in your Zygarde cube and use these cells to change Zygarde's form. And they show the image of the Zygarde cell, and it's sort of like, you know when you have a bad connection and instead of a Pokemon appearing, you have like a shining orb of light instead? The Zygarde cube or cell looks a bit like that, but except it's tinted green.
So they're going to be easy to miss.
So it looks quite easy to miss on this article, on the image they use. I can tell from my personal experience, I've so far found on my fourth and fifth route, which given my route is about a 30-minute walk, so a lot of time. First three times, no Zygarde cell. Fourth time, found a Zygarde cell. It popped up right at the end of the route, so far at the end of the route that by the time I clicked it and it gave me the information pop-up saying, this is a Zygarde cell, the route auto-completed and removed it from the map, and I never got it.
Ooh.
And I've heard similar things from other people.
God.
The next time I did a route, it popped up in exactly the same place, right at the end of the route, but thankfully, because there was no info pop-up, I was able to claim it instantly, just before
the
route finished.
I'd heard the opposite. I'd heard the more likely to turn up towards the beginning of a route.
Interesting.
Well, there's obviously an RNG factor in there as well then.
It just seemed odd to me that, I don't know whether it may be route specific or something in some way, like they say, like this route you get a Zygarde cell.
But there's nothing to stop you creating shorter routes, because you're probably like I am, Milo. The route I created is about 3k,
yeah,
which isn't really that short. You can create shorter routes, which then obviously you're more likely to see a Zygarde cell.
I felt bad, honestly, for everybody, because the first thing that people said, like, obviously I put my trainer nickname saying, like, this, I've made this route.
Yeah, I've hidden my trainer from all my routes.
Can you submit a shorter route? And I said, I have. And it's not gone through. I made a 10-minute loop around Walpole and it's not been accepted yet. But you have to have eagle-eye vision to spot these cells, trust me. Very difficult to spot them. But there are bonuses, apparently, for following routes. So follow a route to its end to earn a route badge. And the route badges are like gyms, essentially. Each route has its own medal. You can go for bronze is 5 completions. Silver is either 10 or 15. And I don't know whether gold is 30 or something like that, but you have to complete the same route a number of times to get the medal. You can earn a buddy candy more quickly. I will say I didn't see that happen when I did my route, even for the first time. The bonus that's for our podcast, Pokemon will be more attracted to incense when you're exploring a route for the first time. Again, that didn't happen for me when I followed a route for the first time. Earn an XP bonus for the first route you complete each day, and you'll receive an increased XP bonus after completing routes for 7 days. That has happened. I've had random little, I don't know about you guys, if you've been able to follow a route, but I've had a random pop-up, even like at midnight, and he goes, route completed. I haven't walked one today.
I haven't followed.
Stop showing
routes
off, Milo.
I've got the best experience of this feature.
I haven't followed any routes yet, but I was talking to a couple of the local sort of trainers.
Yeah.
And they were saying that there were a lot more spawns along the route when they were following it than
interesting
when they walk the same route without following the route.
I will definitely be trying it for Adventure Week. And something that's actually quite nice is you can earn an extra buddy heart when doing a route with your buddy in tow. So there's an extra way to earn a buddy heart, which is something. There's a lot more on the article that really we don't need to talk about, just because the route maker is here.
And the root maker is actually still quite buggy at the moment as well, because if you've not got perfect GPS signal, I created a route and it went like properly like skew if. It probably went 20-30 meters off of the walking path I was on. I'm like, well, hopefully that's correct when it's in game, because there's nobody going to be able to get through a brick wall into a housing estate when I'm walking around a path in a park.
Something I will also say is, in my experience, if you look at notifications, if you tab out to messages and other apps, it finds the smallest reason to pause your route every single time, and you then have to be within 10 meters, which in Pokemon Go distance, it's like you need to literally be within spitting distance of where you once were in order to begin the route again. It's quite buggy in that sense. Like, even sometimes I've tapped the research to check my research encounters or whatever, and it goes, pause route. Stop. Stop pausing my route. I just want to walk it, please.
Interesting. It sounds like a fun, nice feature.
We've just got to find a route. Yeah, haven't we? We've just got to find a route first, haven't we, mate?
I think it's a great idea. You know, I think when it's working properly,
if they really unlock it for GoFest for that park, I don't know if the service will handle it, to be fair with you. Imagine regular GoFest with all the lags that we had. Now add routes to it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know.
And it's not even necessarily going to be cells on wheels, is it? If everyone's following the routes, there's only a set number of routes.
Mm-hmm. And it would also clog up the park if everyone is walking that one direction.
Yeah.
I hope that they unlock it, but then they are like, go out, and if you have your outside park experience, maybe then, yes.
That would be nice.
Once you get into the park, you get access to the feature, but you can only create routes and play routes outside the park.
I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know about that side of London. I'm hoping that were some beta tester peeps out in that direction around London who may have made some routes around the area.
We were actually joking in my local community about doing a fast food loop.
For God's sake.
Do a pub crawl.
McDonald's, KFC, Burger King, Taco Bell.
So you're thinking about a fast food crawl?
Not really, but it was joked about. But there is some more good news when it comes to the GoFest weekend.
Is the news.
Thank you, Reversal. So while you're in Japan and we're in London, the Glittering Garden event will be with us, starting Saturday 5th of August at 10 a.m, running through to Tuesday, August 8th at 8 p.m. local time. A little event that runs side by side with GoFest, and some of the spawns that we'll be getting in GoFest in London and GoFest Osaka will be available in this event for you. So, in terms of the wild encounters, for this event, you will be able to encounter Koops' favourite Pokemon in the world, Bulbasaur.
One of Ian's favourites, Jigglypuff.
Hate that thing.
One that I don't think anyone's really referenced before, Oddish.
You're planting these in your garden, I believe, Mark, from what I understand.
Oddish is.
Another one would be Hoppip. A nice green shiny. Other than that,
a shiny that I don't think anyone in the world will want. Seedot.
Something that people might actually still be trying to chase. Cacnea.
The new shiny for the event is Petalil.
A amazing looking PvP shiny. The Ferroseed.
That's nice.
A shiny that I can announce I got my first ever one of these of just the other day. Spritzy.
One that Ian just said in Chasing the Tail to take victory, Swirlix.
Zartu.
And one I think we're all going to be clicking on and hunting is Dedenne.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that chocolate little mouse, yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of nice shinies in this event, honestly.
Yeah.
Ferroseed, Petalil, Cacnea, Spritzy, Dedenne. Yeah, five really good shinies.
Hope. Okay, so once again, we're going to say, don't do this, but if you want to hatch 2K eggs... You can encounter Budyu, obviously shiny potential, Cherubi, still a rare shiny.
I still don't have the Cherubi shiny.
Neither do I. One that still isn't shiny, but I'm pretty sure Marky would be very overjoyed to hatch, Swaddle.
Hey.
Of course, Petalil. Finally, Bounsweet. But some trainers might even encounter the following, and it's good old Larvesta. Mm. So, best of luck.
Now, if you explore your local park, a certain Pokemon will appear more frequently in parks on each of the days of the event. So
the day that unfortunately we will all be playing GoFest, so it makes no difference to us, Petalil.
Nice.
day that we will all be probably running around London doing some crazy challenge, be Cacnea.
Nice.
Then August 7, we have an odd one, oddish.
Nice.
And August the 8th, I'm sorry, guys, it's not the way to close an event. CDOT will be there in its shiny form on August the 8th.
Nice.
It's not
amazing.
Nice. Sorry, cricket. It's not nice.
The bonuses. You are looking at half distance turn hearts with your buddy, followed by a 1.5 bonus for candies when you hatch Pokemon.
They're doing this a lot, aren't they? Just sort of random numbers, yeah.
Yeah. Also, 1.5 bonus for starters when hatching Pokemon. Also, quite odd of making it. And then an increased chance to earn Candy XL when walking your buddy.
You obviously realize they're giving us too much candy and Stardust, so...
Oh, yeah, of course,
nerfed.
Too much.
Guys, it's nerfed. Get on X.
For God's sake.
As there's no one-star raids, I'm going to talk about the field research task encounters. You'll be able to get Tangela, Roselia, the new Petalil, and Fungus, which can all actually be shiny.
Noise.
And there's also a timed research that will be available at no cost. This time research will give trainers tasks focused on exploration and hatching eggs. They might give us an incubator. Please note that time research expires and the time research task and their rewards will disappear on Tuesday, August the 8th at 8 p.m.
Yes, because it's timed and it's not special.
But it costs nothing. Just a rarity these days.
But there will be sea dots spawning on the 8th as well, coinciding with the end of the time research. It doesn't get any better than that to close an amazing.
The best. Wow.
Speaking of things to close other things out, what's that in the distance?
It's not Mega Rayquaza.
It's...
Nice to get the poll out every once in a while. We've said that many a time before. But this one was referencing our sneezing fits and how many would we get on an average sneezing fit. I just put the question, which of these relate to you? Let's see if anyone shares their sneezing fits with us. I did put, though, afterwards, do not vote and please don't retweet or the boys will find you again. And 46 people voted. And
smashing.
Seven people retweeted. Kerry Young has put, 5 sneezes. Always was 2, but as I've got older, the number has gone up. McFloof has put, I've honestly never counted my sneezes. I didn't even realise people did. We do. Lucy Davis has put, not sure I understand the question, but I picked twice, as that's the normal amount of times I sneeze in one go. Lucy, you interpreted the question correctly. Kels Lengers has put, it's currently hay fever season, so about 7 or 8, with loads of laughing emojis.
I sympathise.
And oh, so, that's how Hermes Nim just put, I sneeze like my cat, 2 quick puffed kind of noises, like that. In 4th place with 7% of the vote, one sneeze. One sneeze and done.
Yeah, I don't think anybody sneezes once, do they,
one
really?
And done.
I know somebody who does.
7% of people do, yeah.
Very efficient, isn't it, that? It's like,
yeah, it is. Done? It's like, done, yeah.
Move on.
No time to waste. Shinies to catch.
Yeah. With 17% and 3rd in the poll, 4 times or more.
Ooh. Okay. In a rare club.
3's got to win, hasn't it? Surely 3's got
in
to win.
In 2nd place with 22% of the vote, 3 sneezes.
What?
Oh, wow.
Oh! No. So bringing it home with an overwhelming 54% of the vote.
Wow.
2 sneezes. Twice a sneezer.
Really?
Yes, Ian.
Nice.
Really. So there we go.
That's surprising.
54% of people are normal. And the rest of you aren't. So there we go. Moving on.
Man.
We was robbed.
Well, thanks everybody for jumping on Marky's Mega Rayquaza. It was absolutely fantastic.
Slippery, isn't it? No.
Sneezes, yeah. It's all of the debris that Mark has sneezed out. Oh, goodness me. I think we should swiftly move on to our favourite section of the show where we're not involved, but you, our wonderful listeners, are.
Shines of the week.
We are starting off with Lachlan Firth. So I guess I'm good at sleeping. The first check is a shiny Snorlax with a sleeping hat.
Oh, I'm jealous.
GG's on that.
Seriously,
one.
Seriously, it so is. Yeah.
It's so pretty with like the blue shiny on Snorlax with the blue sleeping cap and then how it's sitting. GG, first check.
Fantastic.
GG, LF Kamala, Milo's BFF.
Not jealous at all.
No, not.
fair dinkum.
Then up next we have Chicken Chaser 89. My last batch of 8 for the Riolu hatch, they had 3 shiny Riolu and 1 was a Shundo.
No way.
Shundo.
No. And a Shundo. Dude.
In the last batch even. Like, wow. What?
Noise.
GGs. 3 shinies and 1 of them a Shundo as well?
In a batch of 8. That's insane.
In a batch of 8.
Get that thing maxed and ready for Mega.
Yes. Instantly. Up next, we have EMLF 2022 with a Shundo Squirtle.
Ooh.
Nice.
Very nice.
Well done, M.
Nice. Hey, these Shundos. Back-to-back Shundo. I'll keep it up next. We have Nakeem Brown with a Comdade Classic makeup was perfect opportunity to test out how far I can walk after this long road of recovery. 21 shinies in 90 minutes, which is two-thirds will be sent to Let's Go.
Can't blame you for that, Nakeem.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this is a very smart decision to like yeet all of them into Let's Go. I think I've done a lot of the Kanto shinies.
Said any Kanto shiny gets thrown into Let's Go.
Yeah, if I open up Let's Go and go into this park thing, it's full of shinies.
Wishing you a continued recovery, Nakeem.
Yeah, get well soon, Nakeem.
Yeah, definitely get well soon, buddy.
Yeah, get well soon. And last but not least, we have Half Sack. I hope. didn't do the egg event, but did luckily spin one stop and get 1 2K egg. And I couldn't believe my luck when I got the shiny Riolu from one egg.
One egg and done.
Wow.
Wow.
And I think it is Half Sack. Yeah, I think you're right.
What a name.
Zero, Half Sack, zero. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm infamous for butchering names. So if I butchered your name right here, right now, congrats. And that's it for this segment of shiny Pokemon of this week.
Some good Pokemon there.
Oh, some amazing Pokemon.
Two Shundo back to back.
That's mad. Thanks for reading those out, and thank you for sending those in, people. Of course, if you want to get involved in hashtag Shundos of the Week, we gave you the instructions of how to do so right at the top of the show. But I speak for all 4 of us, technically, even though Coops isn't here. Thank you so much, Yaya, for jumping on the show with us. It was a real shame that your other half couldn't join us for this week, but we really do appreciate your time. And we'll just say, this is your opportunity to say, where can people find you? Where can people find you on socials and on what socials?
Very first go-to social would be instagram.com/coupleofgaming. Same goes for twitter.com or X.com?
At this point, yeah.
Oh, that sounds so weird. Nah, let's say with twitter.com/coupleofgaming. On Twitch, you can find us at coupleofgamingTV. The easiest one would be like the linktree/coupleofgaming. You don't have to scramble around and then you got them all neatly tidy up in there. But thank you for having me. Like, it was a blast and I feel like I did better than my very first time. I feel like it's been a way more relaxed environment. You guys, obviously, super, super well done. Super nice format. And I had a blast. I want to come back and have Iso with me. And then I want my revenge on the Zatu.
Yes. Revenge of the Zatu. What a
revenge. You might be able to get your revenge for that at GoFest, because we'll collar you and Iso at GoFest in London for sure.
Oh, absolutely. But I guess we've got one thing to say. You said you'd love to come back. Is that a confirmation? Can we get a verbal contract on that?
Handshake, 100%.
Digital handshake. We're having
you back 14 on. Month wait. No 14 month wait.
We shall not leave it that long.
That's legally binding now, Yaya. So just so you know.
We'll definitely collar you at GoFest London, because we hope to be doing some live podcast recording. So we'll definitely get you on board, mate.
Yes. If you can't find me at the meetup thingies, then you should see me running around in the park on stream somewhere. So you can always run into me. And if I run into you, I'll say
fabulous.
Yes.
Coolio.
We will find you.
Yeah, and you will say hi.
But that is pretty much going to do it for this week's show. 1 week to go until GoFest, London and Osaka. So get ready, guys. Next week is the week.
Buckle up.
We're looking forward to it. We will be with you next Sunday. It might be GoFest Sunday. We will be with you next Sunday. We do not miss weeks at the Incense Podcast. I can guarantee that. Before we go, we just want to say thank you for listening. And if you want to contact us in any way, you can reach us on any of our socials. So that is pretty much like Yayo just said, Instagram, X, Threads, Hive, WhatsApp, email, any way you want, you can reach us. You can't write to us just yet, but you can send us a WhatsApp message. And the WhatsApp voice message number is +44 7592 695696. And please send us voice messages on that. If you call it, we will not answer. And if you text it, we may read out your shiny week, but we will not reply, unfortunately. It's a incoming number only. But before we do go, we need to say thank you to not only you for listening, but to all of the people that support us through Patreon. So all of our bronze members, all of our silver members, we really do mean this when we say thank you so very much. It really does go a long way to help make this podcast. But we shout out the people that are on our gold tier, and those people are Herms Ninja, JB, Clifford Mert, Darby Russ, Kerry and Zachary, Connolly, ML Falk 2022, Apex underscore 171, Professor 58, K Technogal, Mufti, and of course Barside 2. Thank you so much. You guys really do mean that Milo can spend 12 hours on a Wednesday editing this, and I can spend another 3 to 4 hours on a Thursday polishing this podcast so it sounds as crisp and as clear as what is in your ears right now. But that is nice. Going to do it for this
Boys,
week.
Mediocre news.
What?
Well, spoil our reminder. There should still be one.
Is there one?
There should still be one. We have no idea what the Pokemon is.
Yes, we do. Next week's Spotlight Hour, August 1st, is Vulpix.
Oh, God.
With 2x XP for evolving Pokemon.
Fantastic.
It is GoFest next week. We'll see you there. If you're in London, come and say hi to not only us, but to Yaya and Iso, and we'll catch you then.